Theater 5 presents The Trophy. Item, one old man on floor. Item, parchment face, half-opened eyes, thin blue lips pulling back against toothless gums. Item, faded brown sweater unbuttoned for intern's stethoscope.
Where am I? What happened? It's so cold.
How's he doing, Doc?
Not good. Cardiac. If we'd gotten to him sooner.
Officer Kelly. And a young man in white. Why are they here?
Is it the hospital or the morgue, Doc?
He's got a chance. I'll give him a shot.
You know him, Kelly?
Oh, just in passing, Jim. Name's Bill Sherman. Nice old citizen, short on gab.
He looks special. What do you think?
I think I got a lousy beat, Parks. Already today, I run in a guy beating his wife, break up a gang rumble, and now this.
He looks like a story.
That all you newspaper guys think about.
It's a living.
Such a fine man he was. Such a sad man. A widower for years. Since 1938, yet.
Okay with the stretcher, Fred.
No, I won't go. Please. Not the hospital. I may never come back.
Easy with him now.
Did Mr. Sherman ever talk much to you, Mrs.?
Raditz. Rose Raditz.
Mrs. Raditz.
R-A-D-D-I-T-Z, please, Mr. Reporter. Mm-hmm. I try to make a good home for my roomers. We don't have much, but I make it as nice as I can for them.
About the old man.
Oh, such an angel Mr. Sherman was. Like Kelly said, he wasn't much on talk, but to me, yes. I was the only one he would talk to.
All right, Fred, let's travel.
Hey, Doc, let me know the score when you get to the hospital, don't you?
Sure thing. Watch the stairs, Fred.
Don't take me from my room. It's my hiding place. It's all I have left.
Not so fast. These old stairs are tricky.
Stairs. How many times have I climbed them? How many times have I walked down? Up and down. Up and down like a treadmill. Up and down. To the street. To get a paper. To feel the sun. To look at the tall buildings. To see some life. The children skipping rope. Sometimes I thought they were Tom and Marcia, children again. Up and down. Up. Up to the dark room. The four walls that make my world now. I want to go back. I want to go back.
Such a quiet man he was, like a mouse, and clean. Never any trouble with him, like some I could mention.
Now, you said he was from someplace in Ohio.
Yes, he was a printer. But when he got old, you know how it is, nobody wants you.
Did he have any family, visitors?
Not a soul. Go to the park, I tell him. Make some friends with men your own age. Play checkers, talk. But no, only to the children in the block he talk a little. Maybe they reminded him of his own.
Children?
Why not?
Do they live in town?
He never said, and I'm not one to snoop.
Oh, that must be their picture on the bureau.
Okay, Mrs. Ruddett, that'll be all for now.
You staying here?
For a while. Let me know if the hospital phones.
Absolutely, right away. Heaven forbid it's bad news.
What you got, Parks?
This photograph must be of Sherman's wife.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad-looking dame.
There's a newspaper clipping on the back, dated 1938. Sherman, Alice M., beloved wife of William T. Sherman, mother of Marcia Sherman and Thomas Sherman. Services will be held.
This other picture must be of the kids.
And Sherman.
You gotta be kidding.
No, he's much younger, more vigorous.
Yeah, he never got hitched again. Must have raised them kids by himself.
That'd take some doing. Man alone, working, trying to make a good home for his children, educate them. Must have taken every nickel he earned to do that.
Well, the kids would have chipped in when they started earning.
Yeah, but did they? From the looks of things, I'd say no. Or maybe they died. Maybe he lost them, too.
Well, Mrs. Raddatz didn't say so.
Well, in spite of all Mrs. Raddatz said, she really doesn't know anything about the old man, Kelly.
Well, let's do some more digging. You know, Jim, I never liked jobs like this. Like robbing the dead, it is.
I'd be used to it by now.
Yeah. How about that? Pigeon on the windowsill.
Yeah, it's looking for food. Sherman must have fed them.
From what he got by on?
Ask the pigeon.
Well, if you ask me, chum, I think the old man was the pigeon. All the way.
What's in these bureau drawers?
Frayed shirts. Cheap socks. Wait a minute. Here's an old wallet. Let's see. ID card.
Yeah?
Old printer's union card. Pictures of some old kids. Hey, these are different.
Maybe his grandchildren. Huh? Nothing more, Kelly?
81 cents change.
A real bonanza. Oh, here's something. Bundle of letters.
Now, maybe that'll give us a line on the kids.
Yeah, the postmark's right here in town. Riverview section.
Pretty fancy. Sherman's kids must really be in the dough.
And they let him rot in a dump like this.
What's it say, the letter?
Look at the letterhead. Thomas Sherman, consulting engineer.
Ah, well, he is in the chips, then.
Dear Dad, it was nice hearing from you. Found
your letter waiting when I returned from my trip. On the big deal I told you about when I called last month? Well, I couldn't reply sooner because my desk was loaded when I came back. Well, you know how it is.
Oh, sure, all Dad knows. Big deals are a dime a dozen with him. Happen every day and twice on Sunday.
Glad to hear you're feeling well and in such comfortable quarters.
He's got to be.
Lila sends her best. Keep in touch. Love, Tom.
That intern said it was cardiac.
Oh, yeah.
I call it heartbreak.
Tom, where are you?
alone.
More oxygen, nurse.
What's the son's address, Parks?
Take his letter, Kelly. That gives his business address and phone.
I'd buzz that jerk now. Even if he wouldn't look in on his old man here, maybe he'll go to the hospital.
Maybe, but don't crack up if he turns you down. That consulting engineer writes like he couldn't care less about his dad.
There ought to be a law against that.
Yeah, there ought to be a law. Here's a letter dated 1940. Written by Sherman himself to his kids. My dear children, what words can I find to say how proud your birthday gift has made me? I know how you two must have saved the few pennies you get to buy such a fine gift for your dad. And if you'd searched the whole world and spent $1 billion, you couldn't have given me anything that pleased me more. Because, dear Marcia and Tom, it isn't the gift alone that means so much to me. It's the love you gave with it. The love you gave in shopping for it. The sacrifice you made to give me something for my birthday instead of buying a bright ribbon, Marcia. Or you, Tom, a new toy. Since your dear mother died, we've had some lean times. Often you couldn't do all the things you wanted to do, or have things like some of your little friends have. And believe me, I knew this, understood your disappointments. But we did our best, didn't we? And now, your gift to me makes it all worthwhile. For it is the symbol of our closeness, our love for one another. And the love in a family is the most important thing in the world. I have no gift for you, my dears, except the hope, the prayer, that when you are grown and have families of your own, your children will, in turn, give you the love, the blessing you have given your dad.
Well, how do you like what I just saw? Oh, what's with you? You look like you've been to a funeral.
Maybe I have.
Hmm?
What'd you find out?
Oh, this is a real beaut. Seems like Big Shot Tom's in the Bahamas having a ball for himself, while his old man's dying in a charity ward.
You find a number on the daughter?
The station's running it down now. They got an unlisted number. You know, social register and all that stuff.
Well, maybe we can find it in one of these letters. It looks like this one's from Marcia.
Oh, debtors, letters, always letters. Didn't these clowns ever pop up to see their pa?
Here's your answer, Kelly. Dear Father, I'm so sorry you couldn't be with us on Thanksgiving.
But as you know, we dined with friends. We had several invitations and, well, we were naughty enough to accept the one we thought we'd enjoy the most.
We're naughty, Tom.
We had a simply divine holiday. Everything was simply fabulous. The estate, the table decorations. We hope you had a nice time too, Father. We dined on caviar, champagne, pheasant.
Pheasant? Pheasant, my foot. We hope you had a nice time, too, Father. That Marcia sure gave her pa the bird.
I wonder how many holidays the old man spent alone.
Thanksgiving. Remember, children were young. 1 year, only hot dogs. But we had so much love, so much laughter, so much to be thankful for, had each other.
We're losing him, nurse. Call Dr. Gately.
Here's a laugh. Listen to this letter. the consultant engineer sounding off. Sorry, but you can't stay with us at this time.
Dorothy has her hands full with the three kids. And to be honest, Dad, if you came to live with us, it'd be like having another child. I can't put that on her.
They bounced him back and forth like a rubber ball.
After all he'd done for them, they couldn't take him in when he needed him most.
It doesn't make sense.
You can say that again.
No, I mean, the kids must have loved Sherman in 1940. They scrimped to buy him a birthday present. He made a big flap about it, even wrote him a letter.
He should have kept on writing them letters. His phone call sure did no good.
How could there be such a change? It was evidently a very close family. The mother's death brought them even closer for a while. Then, what happened?
You're the reporter. Write yourself a story.
But the missing pieces, Kelly, where do I find them? What turns sweet, generous kids into adults without gratitude, without heart?
You're asking questions I can't answer. But I see the same mishmash every day.
The children had a good home, the best of educations, judging by their careers.
And a lot of luck. They get the gold ring while their old dad goes down the drain.
Well, the race isn't over yet.
You mean you think old Sherman got the best of the deal?
Well, how do we know how much he really had? Any more than we know what changed Tom and Marcia into a couple of zombies.
Oh, I'll show you how much the old guy's got. Just look around you, reporter. One room with curtains to make a bedroom for that old army cot and an old junky screen to hide the hot plate. Bathrooms down the hall someplace, one window that looks out on a brick wall, furniture, that bureau, rocking chair, table, they all look like they came over on the Ark. Oh, he's living the life of Riley, all right. Well, I wish the hospital would call.
Kelly, you mentioned a gold ring. Maybe it's only brass.
Oh, sure, Parks. Like cars, mink coats, champagne, vacations in the Bahamas, some brass. I'd like some. Don't hand me that psychology bit, pal. I only know what I see. And Sherman's story is as old as the hills. You know it, I know it. Parents are good enough when they can do for their kids. But let them get old and poor and out they go. So long. Goodbye. No tears.
Kelly, you're a cynic.
Well, you ought to be, too. You've been around this town and chasing police calls enough to know the score.
I still like to think I might scare up something new.
Well, let's get out of this dump. It gives me the creeps. We'll go to County General for the score.
Let me check out this last drawer, and I'm with you.
Okay, but make it fast. I don't want to spend all night on this report.
Hello? Oh.
Maybe that's the hospital, no?
No.
Well,
yes, right away. I'll tell him. Kelly! Officer Kelly, poor Mr. Sherman, that nice, sad man.
All right, Mrs. Raddatz, what is it?
I'm telling you, he's dead. He never knew what happened to him, and now he's dead.
Well, he's better off.
Oh, such a thing to say. You have no heart, Kelly.
I got a heart, and I still say he's better off. What did he have here?
He had something, Kelly.
What, Potts? Just tell me what.
This was jammed in the back of the very last drawer.
This is a cup?
You might call it that. It's the birthday present Sherman's kids gave him in the times he liked to remember.
Yeah, let me see that. Oh, you're putting me on, Jim. This is just one of them little trophies you give for gags. You know, they got writing on them. World's greatest bowler, world's greatest lover. Or...
Mr. Sherman had a cup like that?
Well, it fits. Look at it. So old and rusty you can hardly read the words.
Try, Kelly. Try real hard.
All right. It says, to the world's greatest... Dad,
I was so proud. You couldn't have given me anything that pleased me more.
Theater 5 has presented The Trophy, written by Virginia Marie Cook, produced and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, George Petrie, Ian Martin, Bill Griffiths, Ethel Everett, Evelyn Juster, Jeff David, and Marty Myers. Audio engineer Neil Pultz. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Ted Bell. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. This has been an ABC Radio Network production.